praise God. And I just pray that we just go into a deeper revelation, that we receive greater revelation, deeper revelation in these days, because God is certainly moving and he's speaking to us all the time. And just what we've heard, just how God can come and the different ways in which he comes and can come upon us. And I can identify with that whole vibrating. I can identify with the urgency that comes on me with intercession. And I shared a little bit about that last time, just how God has come to me and spoken to me. And I've got a couple of stories I want to share in that, but I just want to say, you know, we need to position ourselves in these days. It's really important. And just like Elijah positioned himself, and we read that in James 5, 17 and 18, where it said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And then it goes on to say, and then, you know, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But when we go over to 1 Kings, I might as well read this now before I tell any stories, because I just kind of want to lay this out. So in 1 Kings 18, 41, it said, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And, you know, it's like God wants us to be ready and that for what is coming, and there's going to be a sound that comes with that. So it's like we need to be, just as Kim was saying, it's like we need to slow down, we need to be listening, we need to be hearing what is coming. So Elijah heard a sound before it had even come. He heard the sound. So he had positioned himself to hear from God. It was like it was so important. I mean, yes, he was a prophet, but God is saying, I'm not just speaking to the prophets. He says, I'm speaking to all people in these days. So it's like so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So he was positioning himself in a place, it's like where there wasn't going to be any distraction. And it's like in these days, God is calling us aside and saying, I'm wanting you as a body of Christ, I'm wanting you as a people to position yourself. He says, I want you to come into that secret place with me. He said, because there's things that I'm going to release in these days. And he said, and you are the ones that I'm going to use. And I just want to say, Kim, it's like when you had that intercession come on you for Ebola in Africa, you know, and it was like you may have been the only one that God was choosing to pray at that time. It's like it doesn't take a whole lot of matches to light a forest fire. It only takes one match. And so that's why it's so important that we position ourselves and that we can hear what is coming before it even enters into our atmosphere. Because his servant certainly did not hear anything. His servant didn't hear anything. But God is saying, I'm wanting the church to wake up in this hour. I'm calling you to come and hear. And that, so it's like, whoo, hang on a minute. Where did I get to? And Elijah went up, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, well, there's nothing there, Elijah. It was like Elijah sent him away again. It's like, and this is all about being fervent. This is all about being persistent. It's like, how many times do we give up? You know, we pray through once. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. I mean, Elijah could have quit right there. But it's like he had already heard the sound. It's like, I've already heard the sound of revival. I've already heard the sound of the wave crashing on the shores of New Zealand. I've already heard the sound of those crying out. I've already heard the sound of the harvesters. I've already heard the sound. And so therefore, it's like we have this promise and we keep on going regardless of what is coming up against us. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. So Elijah said, go up again. There was nothing. Seven times he sent him away. On the seventh time, he comes back. And on the seventh time, the servant said, ah, a cloud as small as a man's hand is arising out of the sea. And Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And I'm going, there is a rain that is coming that is going to be so great. There is a rain of revival that is hitting this land, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Praise God forevermore. Whoo! He said, in a little while, the heavens were black with wind-swept clouds, and there was a great rain, and Ahab went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and I just believe in these days that the hand of God is going to come supernaturally upon his church in this day, where we are going to do those great exploits for the Lord. It's like it's you and me. It's like me. I sometimes laugh and go, God, you chose me. It's like he could choose anybody. And so many times we can disqualify ourselves. We put ourselves down. Listen, I'm speaking to me, and of late, it's like I've been having to break agreements that I've made with the enemy concerning who I am in Christ and what I can do. And it's like, and God is coming, people. And it's like, stop disqualifying yourself. You got to stop it. Oh, my gosh. Satan is the father of lies. And it's like, in so many times, it's like we get sucked in and we get pulled in because the storms of life are blowing around about us and trying to take us out. But if God has said it, it is so. If he's made a promise to you, it will be fulfilled. It's like, man, so it's like I'm stirred up because it's like we have been in an intense time of warfare. And it has, and you can feel it. You feel it over the region. It's like I went down to Queenstown for 5 days, and it was just incredible. They've got issues down there. It's like they've got issues. Everyone has issues. It's like, but boy, oh boy, there is something on Christchurch where there is so much contending for the city. Like, I haven't felt it so strong in the nation. It's like, you know, I mean, I've been to other cities and things, and it's like, and I've not felt the warfare like I felt over Christchurch, which tells me that we're on the right track, and we need to be a David and Goliath, and we need to take up our sling, we need to take up the word of the Lord, and we need to start confronting what is coming against this nation. Amen. And that all comes, I tell you what, through intercession, through prayer, through supplications, through declarations. It's like, and you can tie it and thread it all together. It's like all of those things can come together. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I want to share about, because the rain is coming, which speaks of the harvest, which speaks of revival in this land. And we know that things are being unfolded. Things are being uncovered, sorry. It's like, you know, I had that vision of the floorboards, and I've shared that before. And, you know, and Jesus was popping them up, and he was coming in and scooping out all the gunge and that, and it's like, and I'm going, oh boy, I mean, pretty intense. And we just need to look and see what's happening, you know, around churches and that around the globe, and just the exposure of things that are taking place. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise, you know, when we see these things being exposed, because he says, you know, I'm coming back to a glorious church, and he says, I'm going to clean my house up first. And so therefore it's like, okay, God, but I want to share, it's like, one way God speaks to me is like sometimes I can see things multiple times over. And it's like I'm going, okay, you've got my attention. Now, I had some eggs at home and had a couple of chickens and they were laying eggs and I wasn't really eating eggs. I'd sort of gone off eggs. And then Julie had come round and bought me a dozen eggs and from her chickens. And so I sort of had one dozen there and then another dozen. I thought, well, I'll take a dozen round to Pete and Al's. And then somebody else came and bought me another dozen eggs. So I had another dozen eggs. So it's like, I'm kind of going, I've got three dozen eggs. So, no, this is okay. I'll send a dozen eggs to Jen, my daughter. I'll send a dozen eggs to Ella. And so that's good. So I offloaded a couple of dozen eggs. It left me with still a dozen eggs. I go down to Bunnings. Don't even know why I went in there, but I was going in there, and there's a lady standing by her car, and she was an elderly woman, kind of a little bit bent over, and she said something to me as I went past, and I said, sorry, what was that? I thought she'd locked her keys in the car. And I said, are you all right? And she said, would you like to buy some eggs? And out of my mouth, she said, I've only got two dozen left and then I can go. And I says, I'll take them. And I'm thinking, I don't want eggs. In my head, I'm going, I don't want eggs. Why do I want eggs? I've just got rid of eggs. I don't even want two dozen eggs. But I bought the eggs off her. I'm putting them in the car and I'm saying, this is just so bizarre. I'm going, oh God, what's going on? You're obviously trying to tell me something. And he's saying it's harvest time. And he said the harvest is coming in. And it's going to be plentiful. And it's just going to keep coming. And it's just going to keep coming. And it's going to keep coming. Which leads me to a dream, a vision. I'm not quite sure what it was. Might have been both. And it was about these eggs. And I was in a field. And in the field, it was like I could see some eggs exposed on the ground, but it was like there were also eggs that were under clods of dirt. And it was like I could see them, but other people couldn't see them. And so there were just eggs everywhere, and there were people everywhere. And I started panicking because I was worried that they were going to stand on the eggs. And that the eggs were going to be destroyed. And I was yelling and I was saying, be careful of the eggs. Be careful of the eggs. And people were just sort of like doing their thing. And I was going and I was lifting up clods of dirt. And here were like nests of eggs. And I was picking them up and I was holding them to the light. And I was going, yep, that's a good one. That's a good one, because how many of you know? I mean, I don't know if you've ever come across a rotten egg before. It's vile. And it's like, but these were good eggs. And once again, it was like the Lord was speaking to me in this dream. He's saying the harvest is coming. And there are those that have not yet been exposed. There are those yet that you have not seen. He said, but he said they're there. And he says, and they're waiting for the gospel. So it's like this. It's like that's another way that God gets our attention and we start calling in the harvest. It's like we don't stand back and sort of go, oh, well, that was nice. And it's just, we just sort of get on with our day and we don't bother praying. And I want to say this. It's like I pray the end result. It's like I pray the word of God and I'm praying the end result of what I want to see. It's like that's what I want to see. I want to see the harvest. It's like I want to see all those eggs come in. It's like I want to see them all gathered up. It's like, and I'm saying, God, get the attention of the people. Because it's like, funny, it's like the people didn't see them. It's like they were unaware of them. And yet it was like I could see them plainly. And so it's like, once again, it's like having ears to hear and eyes to see. It was like Elijah. He heard the rain coming before it had even hit the atmosphere. And again, it's like with our eyes to see, it's like seeing things, it's like before they're even there in the natural. It's like, so it's like God is calling us to attention. And he's saying, I'm wanting you to position yourself in this day. It's like I'm wanting you to pray fervently. He says, you know, because the heartfelt prayers of a righteous man make much power available. It's like, so we need to have this heartfelt, we need to calm, and it's like in posture and call upon the name of the Lord and say, thank you, I'm going to activate you all tonight, which is going to be awesome. And that, because I've got some scripture, and I always just go, well, it's so much easier with scripture. Because it just keeps us like a sharp arrow in his bow. And it's like when he shoots us out, boom, we're hitting the mark. Boom, we're hitting the mark. And some of you may not be dreamers or visionaries or what, but we have the word of God. And I'm going, God, I thank you for increasing my dream life. Because I seriously, it's like, I haven't had a lot of dreams, but it's like he's beginning to reveal more and more to me now, you know, because it's like we have what we say. We cannot be denied. And so I'm going to share another dream I had, and it was about this cow. I've called it the cow dream. And it was like I thought, oh, my goodness, God. Because in the dream, once again, I'm in this room with a whole lot of people, and it was very relaxed. And it was a big room, and there were rugs on the floor and cushions and couches and chairs and people. And it was just all very busy. And I look up, and everyone's talking, and I look up, and a cow walks in to the room. And I thought, what is a cow walking through the room for? I mean, I just thought it was the most bizarre thing. But once again, no one seemed to be aware of the cow. And so the cow was walking through, and he was walking amongst the people, and I'm watching this cow and going, who in their right mind would let a cow come in to the house? And anyway, the cow wandered through the people, and then it just sort of wandered off out, and I never saw it again. So I got up, and I went over to the door where it came through, And there was just cow muck everywhere. And I just went, oh, well, this is just great. And there was cow muck. I'd like to say something else. It was like, it was up the walls. It was on the furniture. It was in the rug. It was everywhere. And I just went, this is disgusting. And it's like, and I'm not cleaning up this mess, because it was just such a big mess. It was a huge mess. And it was like the house of God, and it was like, and it related to the floorboard dream, where it's going to take Jesus to come in and to clean up all the mess. But it's like he's saying, I want to use you. It's like, will you be a willing vessel for me? Will you position yourself? Will you cry out? It's like, will you cry out for purity and holiness? It's like he wasn't asking me to clean it all up. In fact, he was going to come in. I was sharing with Janet. I said, it was like I used to work in a cow shed. So it's like I know. It's like what it was like cleaning up the yard with the big hoses. And you'd go in, and honestly, I was just a small frame then, and holding on to one of those hoses, it nearly threw me, you know, and it was like, whoa, hold on, and it was like to clean the yard. But you see, I believe that this is what the Lord is doing now. He's going to send a rain. He's going to send a rain upon the body of Christ. And I'm not going to say he's going to, because it's already begun. And we know that it's already begun. And the intercessors are being called awake. And I shared the other time, it was a dream I had in Israel. It was like where Wes was saying, where are the intercessors, Nawa? Where are they? And it was like, and it was shocking to me because it was like I ran down the stairs of this house. It was like a basement, and opened the bedroom door, and it was dark, and the intercessors were asleep. And it's like, so there's a call going out now in the spirit, actually all around New Zealand, and there are many intercessors that are praying, and we know that God is moving, and we know that God is speaking. And it's like, and I'm saying, God, come and move on us, and let there be such a hunger and a thirst and a desire for righteousness, God, that nothing else matters. And it's like as the days are going on, I'm just seeing more and more clearly that actually nothing else does matter. It's like all the chaos, because it's like there's a spirit of chaos that has been unleashed around the globe. There's a spirit of madness that has been unleashed around the globe. And that, and it's like, so we're going, God, we're praying peace, 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 God, over our nation. We're calling order over our nation. It's like, because after all, intercession is standing in the gap. It's like, and we're called to intercept. It's like we're called to stand. It's like, and he says, having done all, you stand. And so we're standing in this hour. He is so faithful to perform his word. Whew, where do you want me to go, Jesus? Is this all good? I hope it's all good. My kids know all about, you know, it's like I've raised them. In fact, you know, I was listening to Kim and I was just thinking, oh man, I would have loved to have had that in my family, you know, my upbringing and that. And really it's like Holy Spirit has been my teacher and has been training me, you know, from a young age. And where I just had such a hunger and thirst and desire for the things of God, even though it was like partway through, I hit a few speed bumps and landed in a few ditches, literally. It was like, I can remember being in a car accident. The devil tried to take me out a number of times, you know, and sometimes, you know, the devil's always trying to kill people. And that, but I mean, he literally was trying to take me out, and right from birth, before I was even born, it was like I nearly died in my mother's womb when her appendix burst. It was like I would just constantly have terrible accidents, and you know, being flipped off a motorbike and that, and I honestly thought I was just going to die. I thought I'd broken my neck. Another time it was like a car flipped into a ditch. Well, it was a drain and it was full of water. You know, so it was just like there were episodes in my life. I can look back now. I mean, I didn't know it then because I didn't have an understanding. But it's like I look where I am today and how God is using me today and how he tried to take me out back then. And that, and it's like, and I'm going, listen, don't quit. And don't give up. And it's like, put on the full armor of God. And it's like, because we cannot fight a war, I tell you what, in our undies. It's like, we need to have our full armor on. We need to be alert and we need to be awake and we need to be joined together. It's like, it's not a one-man show. It's like we need one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has been so faithful to me, and especially with my family and my children. And I just look time and time again, the times where God has come upon me in an urgent manner to lift my children, you know, and one at a time before him when they've found themselves in times of trouble. And, you know, so we could stand in the gap for them. And I remember one of my girls, it was like I woke up with this urgency and I began to call her home. And she was living away from home. She was down south and I had this urgency. It was like a sick feeling. It was almost like a matter of life and death when someone's in a really dangerous, vulnerable place. And so I began to pray. Boy, did I pray. And within 5 minutes, I got a phone call saying, "Mum," and she was sobbing, "I'm on my way home. Wow. I'm on my way home." And that, so don't ever underestimate, and just as Kim said, don't brush things off if you get a feeling. It's like, don't just sort of go, "Oh, I don't know why I'm feeling that, but oh," you know, don't just shake it off. It's like, because it could be a matter of somebody's life. And so I'm so thankful, you know, that I've learnt some stuff along the way, you know, and learnt to recognize what is the Holy Spirit, what is God. And, you know, another one over in Israel. And honestly, when we were over there and the war broke out, it was like we could feel. It was like so intense. We could feel people praying. We could feel the prayers. Now, I know that sounds funny, but you could feel the prayers because we were just getting washed. Well, I was getting washed. I mean, it was like I was just getting washed in peace. I was just in peace, 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 while you guys were all sort of carrying the burden. It was like I was in absolute total peace, because before that in Galilee, the God had come and put a dome, or Jesus had come and put a dome over me, over the three of us actually. It was the most unusual thing. Never ever had anything like that happen to me before. He walked up on my left hand side. He put a dome over me. I said, "Jesus is here. He's just walked in. He's on my left hand side." It's funny how you just know things. I couldn't see him with my physical eyes, but I knew it was Jesus. It wasn't an angel. He came and he put light. It was like a cake dome, like a glass dome. It was over us. And I just went, "He just put a dome over us." I mean, kind of whispering, because it was like, "Oh my gosh, what's happening?" And it was like, and I reached out and I touched it and I went, "Oh, it's real." It was like, "Oh, it's real." And it never lifted. And it was just the most extraordinary thing. And of course, I'm so thankful that it didn't lift, that God was preparing us for what was about to break out. And it was like he was ahead of us every step of the way in the battle. Isn't that amazing? Every step of the way. And it's like, and I just am so thankful for intercessors around the world that all of a sudden began to get this urgency that they had to pray. This was before the war even broke out, that there was something coming. And its prophets were feeling it and going, something's happening, something's about to break out. And praise God we got out of there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right, moving along. Whoo! So tonight, I'm not going to give you any more stories. Tonight, I really feel on my heart that I want us to, we're going to stand up, we're going to be active. And it's like, and I want us firstly to pray, to stand in the gap for pastors and leaders, because there is a real assault. I tell you what, like never before, there is an assault on pastors and leaders of churches around the globe. It's like just with things that are unfolding, and I'm just going, don't ever think that it would never happen to you. I would never do that. I wouldn't do that. I'm just being mindful of people that are here, young ones. And I'm going, pastors, our leaders need a hedge of protection, a wall of prayer around them 24/7. And so we really want to gather around you, Wes and Janet, and that, and it's like, so, and I want us to stand in the gap. And it's like they're going to be a representation for the pastors and the leaders and the prophets around the globe who are facing, it's like just fiery darts 24/7. that are coming in. And as I said earlier, there's such a spirit of chaos and madness that has been unleashed that people aren't making any sense whatsoever. And so we really do need to know how to pray. And when we pray, we're not just praying, oh, well, God, just bless them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, and you spend the whole time just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, just bless them. Just love them, Jesus. Just love them. No, it's like we're going to actually gird up our loins, and it's like, and we're going to take the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to call on the name of the Lord, and we're going to call for a hedge of protection to come around them, and that God's going to release angels to them on this assignment, even when they're going on their sabbatical. It's like we're going to pray specifically for them in this hour. We're going to pray that God is going to guide them with their eye, with his eye, that God is going to lead them into all truth and godliness, that God is their shield and their buckler. It's like that God goes before them. It's like that he is their rear guard. It's like we're not just praying a bless me prayer, but we want to pray very specifically. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you. He says, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So it's like we want to release that over our pastors. We want to release that God, oh God, that you come and reveal great and mighty things to them in these coming days. Every day, Almighty God, because you are good all the time. And God says that when we ask, what does he say? It shall be given you. He says, I'll even give you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. Is this all good? So I think what we'll do, we're going to pray for Wes and Janet and the pastors around the globe, just that there is, honestly, where there is war, it's like we're going to declare peace. It's like, I know that God is doing a cleanup. And so there's going to be a certain amount of stirring, upheaval, and that, but God's doing it. And I'm just saying, God, do what you need to do, but God, keep us strong and protected in the process of it all. It's like, God, strengthen our core. God, enable us in this time. God, to be able to stand, Father God, in the face of the enemy. God, you said that you will pursue your enemies and that you will drive them out. So it's like, I'm going, that's good enough for me. Thank you, Jesus. And Joshua 1:9, I hope this is okay. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? So we want to pray that Wes and Janet, that the pastors around the globe are going to be strong and courageous in these days. Because believe you me, it's like with the way things are going, how they're trying to shut you down in the church, how the things that you can say and not say, you know, and it's like, I mean, how anyone can get saved, it's beyond me. Praise God that he's seated on the throne. I just go, thank you, Lord. Let us be strong and courageous. So we're going to declare that over Wes and Janet tonight. He says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we declare this. So look, let us stand. It's like, praise the Lord. We're also going to pray for the nations. But I'll do that next after we've prayed, because I just really feel that this is so, so important. And I don't want us to be quiet. In fact, it would be really good if you got out of your seats, if you could come and gather round, and that, because otherwise it's me on the mic, and I don't want to be on the mic making a whole lot of noise. It's like, we've got scripture. Brilliant, Margaret. That is awesome. It's like, so I would really like you, hello, to come forward. That would be really good. And it's like, and we're going to just declare the word of the Lord. It's like, because nothing happens outside of his word. nothing. It's like we need to start pushing in. It's like we need to see the miracle working hand of God, because that's who God is. Psalms 86:10, it says, indeed, I'm talking about God, you are a great worker of miracles. You alone are God. He is the miracle worker. It's like, so we're calling upon the God of miracles. We're calling upon the way maker. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is life. So whatever we declare tonight, whatever we release in the atmosphere, whatever we pray over Wes and Janet, he says it shall be so. And it's like, so we need to stir up our faith. It's like God's given us all a measure of faith. It's like, so when we release that prayer of faith, it's like, it's according to James, it's like 5, it's like, he says, it's like, it will restore. Well, if it restores the sick, it's like a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith will put a hedge of protection around Wes and Janet wherever they go. The prayer of faith will raise them up. The prayer of faith will give them courage and boldness. The prayer of faith. So it's like, that's why, it's like without faith, it is impossible to please God. So boy, oh boy, we better be walking in faith, speaking faith, declaring the word of the Lord wherever we go. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus.